So, yeah, in appreciation for doing the coffee mugs, hopefully we'll get those in, and the stickers, we did your new intro.
Oh, God.
This party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory, and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic generator engaged. Raise the monster.
Yes, yes.
It's time for the...
And I'm alive! I'm alive! I'm alive!
Oh, my God. What an intro. Yes, hard to believe after 10 days or whatever we've been dorking around here. I've been in a serious depression for the last 10 days because I've got to go on the Bataan Death March next week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, for 3 weeks, I've Mrs. Jimmy and I are going to go with Grandma and drive. We're taking like a week to drive to California with Grandma. I think they're going to rename Death Valley when I get
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy Valley?
Jimmy Doan Valley. They'll find my parched bones in the middle of it. I'm
right. You made it this far.
Oh, God, I'll tell you. Well, I've had a good life. Up to now, I suppose, go out on top.
Some of our longtime listeners may remember the last trip you took with them.
Oh, that's
and the pig.
And the pig, yes. That's right. That was the trip to Alaska.
Right.
Well, I don't... Yes.
Go back and listen to that in the archives.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Good.
We did that almost a year ago, I guess.
Good luck, Jimmy.
Good luck, yeah. So, anyway, well, no, what I'll do is I'll phone in this time.
Right. Now we won't have that Guatemalan problem.
We won't have the Guatemalan problem, right. I can phone in directly, and right. We can put it through, so we won't have to do the digital Skype or whatever it is.
Sure.
One minute. That'll look good. Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much. Today is guess what? It's a great day to begin hurricane season. That's right. Blow them down. No, this is great. June 1st, 2006, and there's so much to talk about hurricane season. We're going to talk about hurricane season. We're also going to talk about immigration, which, that's a really...
Still headline.
Still, oh, no, and it will be. It will be, totally. And a little bit on the education. California has done some, and Florida as well, have done some things to try and fix what cannot be fixed. The education system is Humpty Dumpty, not only fell off the wall, but is,
shattered
into a million pieces.
And imagine every molecule of your body exploding at the speed of light.
No, we're talking about quantum. We're talking about, it is down to the quark level, so broken.
Quarks is busted.
Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, we're talking about pre-Big Bang. I don't mean it's... even the electrons and the neutrons have not been formed yet, so that's how broken the educational system is.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my buddy Will, Photoshop Will, whose great-uncle actually invented the organ we listened to on the intro of the show, Johnny Jack Hammond, his great-uncle, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, hey, Will, and Lisa's birthday was on May 30th, so hey, Lisa.
And also want to say hello to Andre.
Andre wrote it.
And jolly old England.
Yes, Andre.
I think we responded, brother. Nice lady. A little bit about how we do it here in the colonies. Oh, I say.
So anyway, that was good. Keep those cards and letters coming, folks. We really appreciate it. The email.
And jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
Jimmy@jimmydoan.com. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's move along here.
Right.
First, probably first on the list. We've had a lot. Of course, it's been about 10 days since we did one. So there's tons of stuff. And we have here.
Hey!
Curtis. Council Curtis.
Nice to be here.
Nice to be here with your head wrapped on, because we hopefully got the place.
Because we're in the freezer.
We're in the freezer, that's right. Well, the problem is this stuff is so high powered, we have to keep it cool.
Our brains work so hard.
That's right. Well, we were on.
I'd say I'm still sweating.
Yeah, well, that's how can I can't help that. The fan has stopped working. And Engineer Eric.
Hey.
The only reason we can get this thing up. And your friend Jimmy.
Jimmy.
No, where's he? Oh, he's here. Okay. So anyway, today is June 1st, the start of hurricane season. And it is so funny.
We're already.
Yeah, it actually, we had a little shower last night.
Yeah, it started appropriately. Today is the last day here in Florida of the sales tax rebate on hurricane stuff. Mm-hmm. You can buy
Playboys and whatever.
No. It has to be the time. That's right. I don't know.
Flashlight, Playboy.
The thing that upset me was that there were no drugs involved. It seems like if your house is gonna blow down, you need some serious tranquilizer drugs. Should have gotten a break on those.
No, like ibuprofen or anything that wasn't on the list.
I don't think so.
No, really?
You'd think. But I do believe first aid kits were.
Sure.
But generators up to I thought this sucked. Generators up to $1,000. All they forgive is the sales tax. So the manufacturer's not hurt.
Right.
So you can go out and buy yourself a $10 flashlight and save yourself 60 cents off the top.
Whoa. Wow.
I mean, all, oh no. 60 cents, man.
Wow.
Now
that's responsiveness.
That's right. You get,
that's a proactive.
Boy, I'll tell you, they care about us here in Florida. Well, the other thing is.
He was on it this time.
Yeah, they're on it. Well, the other nice thing is that, I guess all the rich people have used, poor people taxpayer money to rebuild their homes on this shore, because here in Florida, the way you insure your waterfront property that is absolutely prone to flooding is you get insurance from us, the taxpayers. No private insurance company worth their salt would dare insure, your $22 million home on the beach. They say, I don't think so.
Not even an actuary from the public school system would insure.
No way. I mean, let me put it this way. If you put up as the insurance policy, if you put up as the premium, the price of your home, they still wouldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, it's not good enough. So the taxpayers get to pick that up. Anyway, they ran out of money this year. Surprise, surprise. With
amazing.
All the people that put in the claims. And they're going to put a new tax on rather than abolish it and tell everybody you're on your own, which is what they should do. They're going to replenish the insurer of last resort, which of course ends up being the insurer of first resort.
Right, exactly.
Then of course there was a picture in the paper today. As we've seen, not only has not everything been done, everybody's told you in as far as Katrina's concerned, the aftermath of Katrina, they haven't put the levees back yet, have they?
Not I think they I got know of. I haven't read.
No, no. I think. Well, it also turns out there's a study that came out. that came out today that they figured out that New Orleans is sinking at the rate of 1 inch a year anyway. It more. I mean, it's already below. It's already what, 80 feet or something.
No, it's like 12 feet or something.
12 feet below sea level. It's enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
below is enough.
Yeah, below is enough. Right? Yeah, that's right. You get a little wave in there. And,
yeah, and then, of course, the 25-foot storm surge, they finally calculated the storm surge on that thing.
25 feet it was.
Yes, bigger than Camille in 69.
Really?
Yep.
And Camille really just wiped out the Luxembourg.
Yeah, it looked like Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. No, so anyway, they do have, in hope... Appropriately. This is so funny. I mean, the irony is just too delicious. In Hope, Arkansas, where Clinton was born, they have got, did you see the picture of the 10,000 trailers they've got there ready to go? They said this time they're going to be ready after last year in case we have a storm this time.
They're still the same 10,000 we had from last year that nobody used.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not moving them.
Right,
that's right.
Right.
No, that's, rather than move them, they said, see, we're prepared.
Right.
Well, look,
see?
All that happened was, actually, we were preparing for 2006,
right?
And we just happened to move them in there in 2005, but we weren't ready to put them on 2005, so we didn't. So those people in New Orleans
were heroes.
Well, of course, the other thing that's happening is the FEMA money, of course, for the displaced people is running out. Chocolate Ray got reelected, and he's of course the certified population of New Orleans is what, half or a third of it?
Half. It's like half a million people now or something.
Okay, and interesting that he got reelected. It was I understand it was a fairly close race.
Yeah, he had to go to the runoff.
He had to go. That's right. He had to go to the runoff. Oh, that's right. So has he been?
There was a bunch of people.
So he had to go to the runoff, and he beat that 54 to 48 or 50? That doesn't matter.
A normal
win, okay.
54 to 48.
Yeah, that's good. And so 100, well, New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, 104% people voted. No problem. We understand that. It's, you know, vote early and vote often. So anyway, the deal is that that's not going to get fixed. But I think it's funny that FEMA says we're all ready this time, and they've cut off the people in Dallas and Houston and all these.
They sent the bus to go get those people.
No, that they sent them a note that said, actually, they sent the landlords a note that says we're not going to pay their rent anymore. And so some of them had like 24 hours to get out. There, needless to say, and there's like still 10 or 15,000 people that are that FEMA, are paying for. So they are pissed. But everybody's known the official cutoff date was today, I think, June 1st, except for the people, some of the people in Texas.
They've been extending it, right.
The compassionate. I wish I had the quote in front of me from Davy Crockett when in 1830, whatever it was, Davy Crockett was in the House of Representatives. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He was actually, yeah. Davy Crockett, besides, killed him a bar when he was only three. Or whatever. He was actually got elected from Tennessee to the House of Representatives, and they were going to, some war veteran wanted money, and it was a worthy cause. And he basically said, you know, if you start, and he had his own way of saying it, it's a fairly famous quote, I'm sure you can Google it. And he said, it's not as good a thing as it is. But once we dip in to give this guy charity, you know, all bets are off. And that was 150, 70 years ago. And how far we have come.
And now it's all expected.
Now it's all charity. It's all charity. And I say charity. Charity, of course, is so funny because charity normally involves the concept of voluntary, right? And this is where they come by and they put a gun to your throat and say, would you like to donate a little bit to this little lady over here?
That's not enough.
We don't need no stinking. Okay. Anyway, so but I did find it is along with the hurricane season. Of course, we got all the trailers ready. Katrina's, nothing's been rebuilt. The levees, I understand, are ready for Category 3. And of course, I haven't heard, as you know, both Falwell and Robertson came out and said that the hurricane was God's way. Yeah. Teaching about gays.
Well, just the whole decadent New Orleans lifestyle.
I see.
They do Mardi Gras
because there's no decadence anyplace else in the United States. So they decided.
What in the hell are you talking about?
And so they.
Well, I got a light note about Pat Robertson.
Oh, do you?
I can sprinkle it in now.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Pat Robertson claimed recently that he leg pressed 2,000 pounds.
Ah, with the help of God.
Well, apparently. I mean, that's the only explanation for it. Either that or he was leg pressing it straight down. You know, I mean, yeah. Well, 2,000 pounds, that's more than the Florida State football players.
When you leg press, I think that really strong people, like normal regular strong people, can leg press 300 or 400.
Oh, they can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Because the way the machine is you're right. Not pressing it straight down or straight up. You're pressing it kind of at an angle.
At an angle, right.
So yeah, but I mean, literally the limit for the football players.
But I don't understand. If God was helping you, why wouldn't it 2 million or 2 billion pounds?
Well, it had to be something believable. You know, this is,
why didn't he leg press, like, the earth?
Yeah, he moved the earth. What he did got himself a lever.
That's got himself a lever. I guess if
I love the Homer quote when he turns to Flanagan, he goes, Flanders, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? And Flanders had a little diddly problem with
that. No, this is Chairman Mao's 10-mile swim in the Yangtze in 1967.
Right.
You know,
right.
he's 67 years old or something, and he swam 10 miles in an hour.
Right.
Which the only way that's possible if it was downstream in a 10-mile-an-hour current.
Right. Actually more, probably.
Probably.
Figured the drag.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's exciting news from Pat, buddy. Do some more work. I guess if he can do that, maybe he could go, like, jump up and down around New Orleans and cause an earthquake or something. If you're going to leg press.
Well, we'll get him to leg press it up.
Back up.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. There you go. So anyway, with the hurricane, of course, now we have Al Gore, who has come out with his movie.
Anti-hurricane machine?
His movie is called An Inconvenient Truth. Is that what it's called? An Inconvenient Truth?
Okay.
Oh, he was over in Cannes promoting this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's become a Hollywood mogul.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too, right. His movie is about global warming. I don't know. I guess it's a documentary. I mean, I don't think it's a...
It's a rockumentary.
Rockumentary, right. Because
he invented rock and roll, too, I think.
That's probably true. Anyway, he has long since said that Katrina was a direct result of global warming. And that now we are going to be in it. We are in it now.
Well, wasn't his degree in atmospheric scientific
Internet, NOAA, National Oceanographic Association.
Kajismulators.
Yeah, that's right. no, I don't think so, but the deal is that it's interesting because one of the famous sayings that I like to point out to people is how facts can just really mess up what you're thinking sometimes. It's just those inconvenient facts. And it's ironic in a way that he's called his movie An Inconvenient Truth. I think that's what it's called. And it has to do with the fact that there are still some people who don't believe that there is any global warming or that it's not man-made or the word is still out or whatever. And, you know, I don't care. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter at all whether it is or isn't. There are so many things that can go wrong, as they say. I was watching on, now that I've got grandma's channels, I can watch the History Channel, which
right.
showed Mount St. Helens the other day. And it was, the explosion there was like 100 Hiroshima bombs
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
17 miles up into the atmosphere and on. And anything like that can happen anytime. I mean, this business about global warming and, interestingly enough, in today's paper, or yesterday at the very earliest, was the pebble that came to dinner. No, the pebble that was found in the Arctic Ocean. It turns out that they didn't understand until this latest sludge was brought up from, I think they've only been able to date back about 400,000 years by drilling in the Arctic. And of course, as you know, the Arctic is not a landmass, it's ocean up there. So they have to go to the seabed to dig up the sludge or whatever they do when they do a core in the Arctic. It's not like in the Antarctic that's actually a continent. So they went through, they held the ship steady, you know, they had like three ships up there and they were all anchored and geosynchronous, who knows what all, and they went down and they've managed to recover mud from 55 million years ago, which we all know that 65 million years ago was the death of the dinosaurs, right? Supposedly that's been sort
yeah.
of figured out. 55 million years ago, it turns out that the Arctic, according to this pebble that they found, and there's obviously going to be quite a bit of peer review on this, was the same temperature as Florida. They are rethinking totally all everything to do with global warming because of the facts, the paper that was presented yesterday.
I've seen things.
It was a meteor.
Yeah, right.
Well, it may have been, but my point is they found this some kind of plant.
No, I mean actually, back in 65 million years ago, I've seen all kinds of estimates that it was 7, 8, 9 degrees warmer than it.
Well, this
on
day,
average,
they said 18 degrees.
Look,
yeah,
tens
yeah.
of degrees. If you look at the charts, they
right.
can show you the
it's massive
goes,
fluctuations.
Right, massive.
Massive.
Tens.
Well, but it was because of the cars back then, or what? Were they really polluting cars?
A lot of cars back then.
Dinosaur yeah. farts.
Right.
That was it. And, you know, think of now, actually, don't laugh. Or you can, actually, because I am.
Going on in.
Well, when you realize where methane comes from,
right.
the simple fact is people don't realize how undigested food is very often and how it's digested in plant eaters. And it produces a lot of methane.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Well,
done and done.
That's one of the big arguments against, like, McDonald's, whatever, evil McDonald's people. They're raising all these cattle and causing global warming or something.
And it's
yeah,
a plot.
That's right.
Well, you know, and I'm going, well, dinosaurs are a lot bigger than cattle.
And they
were everywhere.
I'm sure they had a digestive system that was, you know,
not
you wonder about the
good.
Efficiency. When you look at efficient digestive systems, Cows actually aren't, I don't think, are that. They got like seven stomachs, right, or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, they got a couple of stomachs at least. They got a place to hold food while it's being digested.
Yeah, they're supposed to store all the food they eat.
Organisms in their body like we right. do to help digestion. All sorts of stuff.
Well, I was looking at, talking about that sort of thing. Part of the ecosystem has to do with elephants. You know, elephants don't digest worth a crap.
They, no pun.
So to speak. Actually, I guess they do digest. Let me do the math on that. No, the... It comes out not much different from the way it went in, which is they don't get much nutrition, which is why they have to eat like tons of the crap in order. It comes this crap later.
All right. So anyway, so global warming is a big myth.
It's not a myth. Look,
the ozone is now. They just that report came out today that said that the ozone
hole is closing.
Is closing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, surprise.
I've read that it closed a few times. They only been keeping records since 1985 on the ozone hole. I mean, it's,
boy, you know those just they're inconvenient facts. They just come up and smite thee in the face with
whack.
These, yeah, whack. And doggone it, if you could just get around the facts and the truth, you'd be okay.
You'd be a great fiction writer.
The truth is, the facts are that we're inside a warming period, inside a cooling period, inside a warming period, inside a cooling period, inside a warming period.
Or we're not. And let me tell you this. What's the worst that could happen? Mankind goes extinct.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and?
That's bad.
Well, no, it's not going to happen right this second.
Well, yeah. The thing is that the estimates that we keep talking about are over hundreds of thousands of years at the minimum.
And
people talk about centuries, and maybe you get a degree or two change here or there, but temperature doesn't change that much faster.
Even if it did, look,
you'd be worried about.
So you raise wheat in northern Canada,
right?
Right.
So
you
what?
Migrate north again.
Yeah, it's, right. We migrated south. You migrate north. Right. You think about it, ice,
and they wouldn't even notice the migration. It would be so slow. People would just be starting to go up there, and people would just be kind of heading out of the tropics or whatever it would be. Mm-hmm. As the tropics became desert, they would just move off the...
How many people are migrating to the middle of the Sahara right now?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. The only migration, desert migration we see are the ones scooting across the border south of here.
The gray goo is going to get everybody long before that global warming stuff.
The what now?
The gray goo.
The gray goo.
Yeah, the nanobots.
Oh, the nanobots. Yes, okay. Well, you know, what I was thinking was, of course, the question comes up immediately. Is 55 million years ago, all this global warming occurred, apparently 18 degrees, whatever, Arctic. I mean, do you suppose it was another civilization that existed here on the planet 55 million years ago that went extinct because of global warming?
Yeah, and they had a bunch of cars, and we've just never found a single shred of evidence because they wiped themselves out so completely.
No, they drove through the Stargate.
Oh, right.
The wormhole.
Yeah.
The wormhole.
The Chapa
Eye. The Chapa Eye.
Well, they were like, or else they were like the, they were like the...
Haven't you seen that documentary, Stargate?
Yeah, I've seen it.
the one that they keep showing, it's a continuing documentary.
Yeah,
it's a documentary series.
Right.
Okay, right. Yes. I have seen that. That's a really, really amazing one.
I love that show.
No, it's good. That's the documentary. Well, it reminds me a little bit of one of my favorite movies that we've talked about from 1953, which was the one with Walter Pigeon and the
Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet, right. Mm-hmm. So, except for they left their bunch of stuff.
They're going to be at the astronaut convention this year. Whoever's left from Forbidden Planet.
Can't be more than a couple
can't
guys.
Can't be many.
I know.
You think about it. I mean, they got to be.
A girl, you know, maybe. She was 18 or 22.
She's going to be in a wheelchair.
I mean, that's 50 years from then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's right. No, then. they're elderly people.
Yep.
They're my age.
Ooh, yep.
That's scary.
But there are going to be some Bond chicks there, but... Anyway.
Yeah, no, are they going to have, just to digress just for
Maude
a second.
Maude Adams and somebody else.
Are they going to have,
Gene Kranz is going to be there. That's the big one.
That's the big
White
one.
White flight, yep.
Let me ask you this. So are they going to have booth babes?
They never have booth babes at the astronaut convention.
Screw it.
It is in San Antonio, Texas on the Riverwalk, and there's tons of babes down there. Which,
been there, done that.
And it's at the Wyndham Hotel.
Of course, I was with
Hotel.
Mrs. Jimmy at the time, so I was not allowed to look. I had the Mrs. Jimmy blinders on.
Lots of eye averting. Huh?
Yeah. No, well,
just
that's right.
Two averting. Hands.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Four.
No, well, it wouldn't be. So, it's amazing how far your eyeball muscles can stretch.
Bender from Futurama.
Well, no, it wasn't that much, but I did get a look at my brain. My eyeballs rotated around, totally around, in my head, stared at my brain, and came back around. So that's... I didn't realize you could do that with eyeballs until I got to the Riverwalk. I've lost the stream. I digressed and I've lost the stream. We were talking about
the hurricanes.
Oh, the global warming extinction. And the guys that were here 55 million years ago, no trace found. And of course, it might not have been guys. They might have been reptilian leftovers.
They're all on Antarctica underneath the mile.
Underneath, that's right. They've drilled down and they haven't found them yet.
Right.
So the worst that can happen is we go extinct.
Right.
And so what? Earth will recover. And you know, it's amazing. We talked about this, I think, two or three, four podcasts ago. There was a fellow who wanted to literally thought that the Earth was overpopulated, and wouldn't it be nice if 90% of the human population was eliminated, and that would make it nice for him, I guess. I don't know.
For him, exactly.
For him.
You know, there's a society for the voluntary extinction of the human race.
They can start with themselves.
That's what I think.
But the other thing
is... Knock
yourself out. Precisely.
The fact is, we're not going extinct. It doesn't matter how hot this world gets. There will be technologies to cover and counter.
Well,
and
you say that, but even if we do, look, what's going to happen? Even if something happens and we do, they get a new super AIDS virus that is lethal or whatever. And so what? I mean, in the global thing, you're going to die anyway.
I'll answer that.
Yeah.
So what is we fight to survive. And part of this show is about what we're doing to improve the culture to ensure our survival.
Okay, and you've actually hit the nail on the head. Very good point. And I'll tell you, no government wand waving, no Merlin in Tallahassee is going to do it. It is going to be private. The market system will figure it out. And the market system is bigger than these guys that play God all the time. It's startling to think that every time a problem shows up, that these guys think that they don't for a moment hesitate to plunge right in and say, I can fix this. They send to their...
Just give me enough guns and power.
Or give me enough money.
Right.
And power, which is the same thing. Exactly right. And guns, you're right. And we can force people to do good things.
Right. Well, like we've talked about this before, too. The government, as far as being environmentally friendly, I mean, they you know, governments of the world have been... Orders of magnitude worse than any civilization.
Well, the other thing is that you have to get rich before you can undo your pollution thing. In other words, when you start off as a caveman, you don't have any choice but to burn down the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all you get. And it's capitalism that puts together the Bessemer furnaces and all that stuff. And once you increase the amount of wealth and the capital that's needed, that's only then can you clean up the mess that you've made. You have to, it's just the way it works. The mess first, the cleanup later. You don't do the cleanup first. You just don't do the cleanup first. I mean, how would you know what to clean up if you did it first, kind of thing?
And that's why the third world is struggling with...
Well, it's interesting, of course, that the Kyoto Treaty and all these other stuff that are basically socialist, the most worst kind of corrupt socialist, quote, solutions, unquote. And once again, it's a solution that automatically you can see the problem in the solution. So often you say, if you state the question... No, let's see. The problem answers itself if the question is stated correctly or something like that. This is the other way around. When governments propose a solution, right away you can see a new problem showing up. And this happens across the board. I mean, it happens, and we're going to talk about this in a minute with immigration. The solution is an unbelievable problem, and it is worse than doing nothing. Anyway, so as far as the pollution is concerned, the Kyoto Treaty, of course, didn't apply to basically to China and India, who are in the process of well, I mean, you would go over to China and you've been to Japan. Everybody's wearing masks around there because the air is so bad. I mean,
they wear masks because when you get a cold, they wear a mask.
Okay, but in China, there, I know in Beijing and places like that, that are spewing out the Mount St. Helens volumes of stuff out of the smokestacks. They're wearing masks because otherwise their lungs would turn. I mean, cigarette smoking would be a good thing would be cleaning their lungs compared to what they're breathing over there in some of those cities. And they're migrating. I mean, we're talking about 800 million people, for God's sakes.
Well, 800 million of the Chinese still live in the villages.
Right. That's right. And that's right. But they're coming along, though, at such a rapid pace. Anyway, they were excluded, essentially, for all intents and purposes, from the Kyoto business. And you only have to look at those little putt-putt cars and stuff like that. I mean, those things...
Well, China's got like 4 billion people or something.
800 million.
What?
Well, 800 million.
Yeah. It's about 1.2 billion, I think.
No, I thought that was India. Or I'm going to have them backwards.
Well, they're about the same, I think.
Okay. One's a little larger. One's...
All right. I think China's a little larger.
Okay, then I've got it backwards anyway. Well, I'm sure. And our China people, who, by the way, we got some people from China.
Yeah.
We have. I was looking at our...
Zhao.
There you go.
All right.
I was looking, and we have got them literally on our hit page or whatever it is. It's astounding the countries that are coming in to listen to us, and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
So write us in your native language, as long as it's English.
And but now we'll translate it.
Well, it could be Australian or British or Canadian.
Or South African.
Right.
We have no problem about that.
We read all those languages.
Bermudan.
Yep.
We do that. So anyway, that's good. En poco de español. Aquí, you know? Entonces, the deal is that the pollution is if the market will figure it out. There's no question. And these guys all the time are trying to wave their wand. And I thought about going down to the local city commission here because they see nothing that they can't fix. And I thought I would get some of those.
And they fixed everything, haven't they?
Oh, my God. It's well, I was going to talk about locally here. We have a quote, homeless problem that they've already decided
fixed.
To. Well, they've already told us it's going to take 10 years. I mean, and we already said we can fix it in 10 minutes. But not when you can hire more staff and take more tax dollars and pretend you're going to do something. I just wonder where these guys are going to be around in 10 years if you can go up to them and say, what happened? And they'll have it.
Well, I say there wasn't enough money.
Right. We have to redouble our efforts.
Right.
You know, it's Lord Vader, we'll redouble our efforts. We'll get this Death Star finished.
And again, the other quote that you always say, it's just so true. If you want some more of something, you subsidize it. If you want less of something, you tax it.
Right.
And that's what they're going to subsidize, some kind of a homeless thing, and they're going to guess what's going to happen.
There was a cartoon about it in the Gainesville Sun. Jake Fuller is our local cartoonist. He's really good. I really like him a lot. I don't think that in 10 years or however long he's been doing our cartooning locally here, I don't know if he's even syndicated. He might be very little bit. Anyway, stuff's pretty good. He's conservative. I mean, he says he's not, but I think he is. Anyway, I think maybe two or three cartoons I've more or less had a question over what he's written. But this, he had one on homelessness the other day, and boy, I'll tell you, the letters came in. Last, I think it was Saturday, was dump on Jake Fuller Day here locally. They thought, and big, long letters, people writing in saying, how can you be so insensitive, you know, so forth, so on. And of course, he was right on the mark. It was the elites here in town were basically going to appropriate some money to, you know, we'll take care of you little people. And of course, once you make people dependent on government, you've got a constituency.
They get right off of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like tomorrow, you bet.
Because they don't want to have that free money. They want to go out and earn it for themselves.
Well, it's not only that, but once you create a dependent class, I mean, it's like anything else. The dependent class is somebody who will vote for you and keep you in office. And
right.
The safety net becomes a hammock.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, it becomes a Tempur-Pedic mattress, for God's sakes. You know, the safety net in this, I mean, you think about it, what poverty is in this country is, you know, about roughly, and I'm not exaggerating here, I think it's something like 100, 200, about 500 times the average, the poverty in this country is 500 times the average income in Haiti. 500 times as much. I mean, think about it for a second. 500 times. That's a poverty here.
That's why we got immigrants coming up from Mexico voting with their feet.
That's right. And of course, are we done with the hurricane season global warming thing?
I think so.
Bring it on.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about immigration. There are, since the last time we were here, and Jimmy proposed his solution, right,
mm-hmm.
which was basically to set up the customs, as you have in the airports.
Right. Interview booths
mm-hmm. With the snaky lines.
Right.
Whatever it is.
200 of them across the border.
200 of them across the border, whatever it is, spaced evenly or mm-hmm. however it is, at checkpoints, and you basically get in line. Let everybody who comes through. Basically, you're letting them all in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A temporary worker card.
Temporary. Who
right,
cares?
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's
right.
a card, and maybe it could be like a visa. It could have an expiration date.
Right.
So what? It could be like we do, say 5 or 7 years or something like
right.
that. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And it's got a thumbprint, a picture, hologram, $200.
Right.
And that would pay for the whole thing. Get it sponsored by, you know, Taco Bell, and
right.
You know,
make a run for the border.
Yeah, that's right. And
the pink taco,
and, huh?
And the pink taco,
and the pink taco, right? And the and then the other one is the Mr. What's the one down here? Mr. Pina Colada place or whatever it is. Anyway, you know, Cinco de Mayo, whatever. I don't know. There's Pablo's something.
Don Pablo's.
We can have them anyway. They would build the places.
Mm-hmm.
So basically. The immigration bill as it stands, the one passed by the Senate, of course, these guys are so far apart. The only wall that exists right now is the one that's between the House and the Senate, because they are so far apart.
Hopefully, I mean, that'll be the only one that gets erected.
I'm hoping it'll stay there, because the consensus is that there might be a compromise. The Republicans are going to go down in defeat in November if. No bill comes out of here, but this is a classic case of no bill, nothing coming out of Congress.
Better than any
bill. It's better than anything, right, at this point. And Jimmy's idea, of course, is the ultimate, almost, it's 90% market solution in this particular case. And what it hurts, and the reason it would never happen, is because it wouldn't cost anything. It wouldn't empower anybody.
Right, it would not empower anybody. Except for, like you said, you could have... sponsorships build the entire thing.
Well, not only that, we figured they are talking now. I don't
could
know
be if a border you, checkpoint and Taco Bell.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
But exactly,
I mean, you can have a lot more than that. You can sell them, you know, Avion water and Nike shoes or whatever else, Levi's, and I mean, it could be a full blown, you know, little mini shopping mall in each place. And you got a built in audience of millions that are going to traffic on through there.
They're coming in.
Coca-Cola and Pepsi wouldn't check out
here's the 20 stores.
There's a couple things to consider. First of all, the Senate bill, I understand, is about 300 pages long, which, of course, right away, you know, the 299 pages of it are special interest, gizmo, who knows what. You can do an immigration bill in a page or two, and the rest of it, you know, is just mischief, special interests, who knows what. And I understand that there's another 150 or 60 pages of notes or footnotes or something on the thing, which, of course, again, nobody's read it. And they always summarize this thing with two or three bullet points. And, of course, they're talking about whether it's amnesty or not.
I want to talk about that.
You do?
Well,
let me finish. Let me finish my thing here, first of all, because the... House bill, which was passed some time ago, earlier this year, I think, is strictly on enforcement. That is, build the wall.
Right.
That's the first thing. Build the wall, keep them out. Then we'll figure out what to do about the 11 million people that are here, whatever it is. Now, I understand that only about half of those, actually, 11 million that are here are illegal. I don't know if there are 11 million illegals here. So I read someplace that only out of the 11 million that are here, that 6 million of them are illegal.
I don't know. I've heard so many different numbers get thrown around in the news. And,
well, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The point is, how do you find these people? You're not going to round them up.
Nope.
It's just not going to happen. As soon as you round up the first 1,000, the others are going to disappear into the woodwork. Absolutely. Right. They're going to blend in. I mean, they'll turn as white as Michael Jackson, and they'll blend in totally, and you'll never find these people. They're going to be like moles, and so my solution, of course, was to let me back up to a second. One of the complaints that people say is that, look, with this amnesty provision that the Senate has got, is you're letting these people off the hook. They're illegal people, and you're basically forgiving them, and because of this path to citizenship business, you're putting them at the front of the line when all these other people have been waiting around patiently. The legal people have been standing in line for 5 years, who knows what.
Yeah.
Well, of course, my solution is, let's put everybody at the front
of the line.
That's right. Everybody goes to the front of the line tomorrow.
Right.
And the way you do it is you put these things across the border and you just show up at first, and the line stretches from Guadalajara to Buenos Aires or whatever it is. And you come through about as quick as you can through these 47 checkpoints or whatever it is with staff 24/7, mm-hmm. Plus all the usual support group hangers-on and concubines, hookers, and so forth to make sure that you're, you know, and I mean, think about the like you say, as you said, the Avion water franchise on the Mexican side of the border while they're waiting in line. I mean, you know, you just...
You King Jimmy on that.
Yeah, that's right. So we could make some serious stuff. We could sell bottled water. I mean, you think about it. How much trouble is it to import You take the Evian bottles. I'm wondering how much trouble is it to reseal them after you put tap water in them. And so anyway, no. So anyway,
you have to do one other thing too. Well, of course, like you said, it'll be the straw also that breaks the education campus.
Well, that's
back.
The other thing. The other thing is that
you get a few perks off this too.
Well, that's right. The other thing, there's two things to consider. First of all, the only reason the people that claim not to be racist jingoists and Sophia claim to be are saying, well, it's breaking the education and healthcare system. Well, of course, those are two socialist systems in the United States. Duh.
They're going to break anyway.
They're going to break anyway. So you might as well break them now, and you might as well flood them down. And I forget what it was my sister-in-law was telling me, that they've closed emergency rooms out in Southern California because they've gone broke. And that's good, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't understand why Congress made the problem by providing supposedly a solution. They passed a law that said that anybody that walks into an emergency room has to get help. Well, of course, if everybody walks in, then no. If everybody is granted this thing, then nobody gets it. And the reason is, when you've got an 8-hour wait in the emergency room, that means it's not an emergency room anymore. I mean, that's simply, so they've closed them because they're going broke even with the 8 and 10 hour waits. So anyway, the deal is, as far as I'm concerned, you need to show the socialist system for what it is, and you can break the educational system and the healthcare system by overloading them and get them back into the private market. That's for another show, and I expect to get email on that.
Let's hope,
right. So anyway, is this phone still, no. So,
does this phone work?
Does this phone ring? So the deal is that you've got the people coming through the 47 checkpoints with the man 24/7 by 8, 10, 12, 24 lanes each. And you get your picture taken, your thumbprint, a holographic Visa card with a magnetic stripe on the back that has all the data. And then you go, and basically it says worker, or it says wherever it is, whatever it says, your name, whatever it gives that, you.
Yeah, the identification is just identification to keep out card. the real criminals.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So people are saying, well, what about the terrorists coming in? Well, okay, they're coming in anyway. So we might as well get the...
Well, and they're coming in easier because so many people are coming across the border now.
There are two things to consider here. One is they're talking about charging these people anyway, the 11 million people, thousands of dollars to become on the path to citizenship. So I'm saying, forget the citizenship for now. Let's get them into the country legally with your ID card, which you have to swipe at your employer. So that we know where the guy is. Now, he might switch it or something. I mean, there are going to be illegal things that are going to happen. But it's what I call the iTunes. This is the iTunes model. Is a lot of reasons that people buy off of iTunes is because it's 99 cents. It's not worth it anymore to rip it off. You might as well pay the 99 cents and feel better about it.
You know you get a good product.
You know you got a good product, you know, so forth and so on. So this is what you do on the immigration. You got 90% and over 90% of the 11 million here in this country, would immediately stream south, say, boss, I'll be back in a couple of days, let me take off. They run down, they get their ID card, all perfectly legal and so forth. Now, again, there's going to be problems. We understand that. There's going to be people who shouldn't be here, and I know that the big flags, you know, all the sex offenders coming across at
the letting them all in would free up a lot of resources to go after the real people that we don't
want. That is exactly right. And you think about it. First of all, you're going to have, out of the 11 million, 10 million of them are basically going to be off the radar. Right. You got a million people that I'll give you a million people that are miscreants, but they're hidden in the 11 million. Whereas once you get everybody in here,
legitimize,
they're swiped. They're, you know, that now you got a real social security number. They're really here and so forth and so on. They're not citizens, but they are, but you know where they are because every time they go to work someplace, if they change jobs daily, they swipe in. So basically, 90% of these people, and I'm sure it's more than that, are going to do two. They're going to be two things. First of all, the employers are going to insist on this right away. So there you have automatic enforcement, right? You don't have to send out INS people. You don't have to do raids because the employer is going to sit there and say, well, no, it's not worth it for me.
Because I got 9 immigrants over here with cards.
With cards. So, you know, you don't have one. Bye-bye. So it's self-market forces enforcing right off the bat. And the thing is, they're talking about the disruption. There are 11 million people are here today. In other words, what disruption is going to occur is what you see out there right now. And it would be less than that. In other words, you're talking about alleviating the problems as they exist today. It's not like there's 11 million people on the border waiting to get in. There might be, but I'm saying that there's The fact is that we got 11 million or 12 million or whatever the number is, 14, 28, 6, who knows what. They're already here. And we got 4.7% unemployment rate. So this is different. I saw a column here by Thomas Sowell, and for once he got it wrong. He said, if you have an overwhelming number of immigrants to your country, you end up as they did in Paris with the riots, the Muslim riots. Well, that's right. The difference is they were unemployed. I mean, if you're working, you don't have time to go out and riot. The problem in France was they got 20% unemployment. They got 50% unemployment in the Muslim community. And those people got nothing better to do than to go out and riot. If you are sitting here putting on a roof or tarring a roof or working in somebody's garden.
We don't do that here in Florida.
What?
Build and replace roofs and stuff like that.
Certainly not.
No.
And we're certainly not going to come up with, you think about in September how many roofs are going to be
replaced.
I mean, you know,
people are going to have to pay, you know, five times the money to get somebody else somehow to solve the problem.
The deal is what they ought to do is they ought to go to, rather than have them walk up to the border, they ought to put those, as they did in some places, like in some of the Caribbean countries, our checkpoints are in those countries. When you get on a plane to come from like Bermuda, you go through U.S. customs in Bermuda. So you don't have to do it when you get here. So what you do is you get your 747s lined up on the runway in Mexico City, and you basically put the customs office, the immigration office there,
right?
And you load them onto the 747s and fly them into Tampa, where they're going to be put on roofs.
Yeah.
Or New Orleans, where they're going to be put on roofs. Look, I'm telling you, and so the point is that 90%, and you charge them a couple $100,
right?
Because they're now paying thousands to these stupid coyotes.
Right.
To drag them across. And with death, with 50% mortality rate anyway. Right. And I don't think anybody really wants that. So anyway, here's the deal. You eliminate the need for the Chinese wall. You eliminate a lot of the enforcement people, you know, running around. And of course,
Killing
fields. Exactly right. So you're worried about drugs coming into the country and so forth. They're already here. So
well, not only that, but there would be a lot fewer of that because there would be a lot less illegal smuggling.
Well, not only that, you think about it for a second. At this point, when you have 90% of the people coming in here with their nice people, they got families, whatever it is, they're the ones that are going to be turning in the buddies. Because they realize that somebody who's here messing up things is going to mess it up for them. They're going to be tarred with the same brush.
Right.
And you can bet they're trying to do this in Iraq right now, and they're doing it wrong. But here in this country, it'd be easy enough. And I can guarantee you in some of these communities that are Mexican or Latin American or whatever you want, Central American or whatever it is, communities. And, of course, you understand that only, I think only half of the illegal immigrants are from are Spanish-speaking anyway. A lot of them, people don't realize this, are from Korea, China, even from Europe, so Vietnam, so forth and so on, a lot of those. But anyway, the point
Canada.
Is... Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Canada. Those are, you know, they're not hustling down here too much. They got...
We might see some more Canadians here in the near future. I got a light note on that later.
Okay. So anyway, my point is that you've got the holographic, very difficult to duplicate. But the thing is, people can write to me if they want, jimmy@jimmydoan.com, and tell me what's wrong with the plan. I'm not saying the plan is perfect by a long shot, but I'm saying this is essentially a costless plan. It costs nothing. It gets to the root of the problem right away. It eliminates 90% of the problem within a year, because I did the math. It turns out if you've got 47 checkpoints, man, 24/7, and so forth and so on, that you get your, in other words, the people that are here now are going to take a couple of days off, run down, basically do a two-step U-turn and walk back into the checkpoint to get their card and come back into the United States. I mean, they're, you know, wait for me on this side of the border, honey. I'm going to run over here and get my card kind of thing. And that way, basically, nothing changes except the people that are legal all have the cards, and you don't have to worry about them. And as you brought up, the enforcement can then target
the real people.
Of course, my guess is they don't want to do that. It's too easy.
They who doesn't want to do
the
what?
Enforcement people. It's one of those things.
Yeah, because they got a lot of job security right now.
Right, they got a lot of job security, and when you're chasing down somebody running across the border with a backpack, When you realize that the people you're going to be chasing after now are the real criminals,
right,
that might have guns.
As opposed to people you're just ferrying back over across the border twice
right.
a day.
Right. So this is one of the reasons that somebody once said, when you report a robbery in your home, the police very often take their time getting there because they don't want to confront the robber. You know, they'll take the report later, but basically they just assume that the guy, whoever it was gone. And otherwise they might get shot.
Right.
I mean, who wants to get shot? So you take your time about getting there. You don't want to catch the guy. You want to take the report and so for insurance purposes, because everybody's going to be left whole by the thing. But it makes perfect sense that if you are anybody, you don't want to get shot.
Mm-mm.
And one of the easiest ways to get shot is to run up to somebody who has nothing to lose, breaking into a house and holding the inhabitants hostage or whatever it is, and say, "Give it up."
and did you notice? Well, for example, they just had a shooting at a checkpoint the other day in Iraq. A couple of women, one of
yes.
them pregnant,
right.
Approached checkpoint, didn't stop. And this is what they would have to do on the border down in
exactly.
New Mexico. They have to shoot them.
That's right.
And most of them, as it stands right now, would be just normal people looking for work.
That's right. And you're exactly right. And the thing is, you don't, if you're going to put border guards, as we showed, I think I saw a picture. We didn't put the picture on the website, but there was one where it showed these guys in full blown Kevlar helmets with their M16s or whatever it was.
Right.
And on the border, you don't hold a gun unless you plan on using it.
Right.
It's that simple. You don't have a gun unless there's some reason that you're going to use it. And this is exactly what's going to happen. Pregnant girl's going to get shot. So.
Well, yeah. The other thing is that if your insurance is going to, I mean, especially here in Florida, I mean, our general insurance is going to do nothing but increase if they try to do anything to try to fix the problem. Because, again, if they come down on all these contractors and builders, a lot of builders are just going to say, you know, screw it. I'm not going to mess with this anymore. There's too many things to deal with, and it costs me too much. I'm having to get out these ridiculous bids to do this repair work, because I have to hire people at ridiculous wages to come out here and do this work.
Right.
And I mean, like we talked about the farmer who couldn't get anybody. $10 an hour, and he can't get anybody that's a normal American citizen that lives in his community to work for him. All these kids are going off to college and getting IT jobs.
Right.
And he's going, you know, listen, I'm paying way above minimum wage, you know, and I have nobody coming.
Well, and just to finish this off so we can move on.
Well, I still want to, go ahead. Let me just comment on the amnesty thing.
What do you want to do?
I still want to comment on the people who are already here.
Okay, good. Go ahead and do that, because I want to talk about the one quick thing I want to talk about was the people that did the INS hats and the, you know.
Right.
Okay, so you go ahead with your
okay,
story.
All right. People, aside from breaking the educational and health systems, another complaint that I hear is, well, they're illegal, they're breaking the law, shouldn't we punish them for breaking the law? And my answer is no, it's a stupid law.
Right.
If they passed a law today in Congress, if the Republican majority passed a law that said it's illegal to vote Democrat, and it's illegal to be a Democrat, and it's illegal to talk about Republicans who are in office, and then we all got together and said, well, that's ridiculous, and we talked about it, and then we voted them out, and the new people who got in changed the law back to the way it is now, then would we prosecute ourselves for having broken the law to change it back? From having those conversations to get it back to where it was? Even if it was the death penalty because it was named treason?
What about prohibition when it was illegal to drink alcohol?
That's right. People
got off scot-free.
The Kennedys, all those people, should we go back and punish those people because at that time it was illegal.
That's right.
And therefore we need to punish them.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that's grandparents should have been hooked up in the clink for drinking during prohibition that are out there that are complaining about illegal immigrants right now. I assure
absolutely.
You that.
Absolutely. And that's another thing, is that these guys continually forget where they came from.
Have you ever sped in a school zone?
Yeah.
You know, you've done something illegal.
That's it.
Have you ever done anything illegal?
Well, not only that, there are, as we know, there are a lot of illegal laws.
Right.
I mean, that's the simple, it sounds kind of almost contradictory, but there are a lot of illegal laws.
You have beer at your bat mitzvah? Yeah. Little problem.
No, my point is that
parents
the way
go to jail for that.
What's that?
Beer at the bat mitzvah is 13-year-old Jewish kid coming of age, and they drink wine or beer there. Parents serve it. Boom. Goodbye.
Well, this brings up another
thing.
Can
be anything. I'm just giving examples.
No, well, it's,
you know.
But one of the things that you find out when the law comes down, when the Supreme Court or the, even the local federal, any of the courts come out and they throw out a law, what it meant was the law was no good.
It sucked. And that happens all the time.
It was illegal.
Right.
It was
illegal.
It happens all the time.
And they've had amnesty in other countries throughout the centuries. They've had amnesty where they let people out when they realize, oh, shoot, you know, we prosecuted all these people for being black or whatever it was. And then we realize, you know, that was a stupid idea. Do you go back?
And well, I think that one of the things you,
the answer
you brought,
is no.
You brought up one point, and one of the ancillary items that people talk about is what about, and this I've already answered this, what about those people who are legal, who have been waiting patiently, have been going through the process and paying the attorneys and the bribes and the whatever it is, and down at the consulates in all the countries around the world, and they keep coming back, and do I have my visa yet? And sometimes there's as much as a 5-year wait just to get a decent visa to come into this country.
Give them all $100,000.
Well, my point is that my solution would move everybody to the front of the line tomorrow. In other words, those people would just basically go, there is no more.
Right.
There is no more. That guy,
so they
that
had
little petty bureaucrat who has been saying no and shredding their documents all the time would be fired or essentially moved. Well, he'd be promoted, is the way it works. And you'd get somebody in there who would essentially rubber stamp anybody who showed up with a picture, thumbprint, the whole nine yards, and said, I want to go to the United States. And you would give them their identification card.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they would go to the front of the line.
And sorry you had to wait. Sorry. Yeah. And thank you for waiting and not being illegal. But it was a stupid law. And we're saying
to correct it.
So exactly.
Right. And so it's not the thing about the, it's interesting because those people would be in the same boat as the people who were already here as far as getting in line is concerned.
Right.
So there is no jumping ahead and that sort of thing. Now, the other thing that people talk about is what about the taxes that have been paid? What about the fines? They want to fine them. This is in the 300-page Senate bill.
Get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Right. You know, this is the whole point. This is another example. 300 pages is an unenforceable law. It is a nightmare, and it won't happen. It won't work.
And here's another thing. If you're in this country and you're anti-immigrant, look back a couple of generations and see if you don't have an immigrant
in
your family.
Well, this is, of course, it's so funny you should say that because this is what happens locally here. We have it is a normal, actually, human failing that people move to Gainesville and they say, well, I like Gainesville. Look at this town. It's so pretty. It's so nice. I like this town. And they move here.
Then they find out how many cops live here.
No. What happens is the next day they turn on Channel 12 here and see that somebody wants to put in a development. And they run downtown and say, whoa, wait a minute. As a citizen of Gainesville for low these 24 hours, I don't want you messing up my town. Mm-hmm. And this is continually going on. The people move to a place because they like it the way it is when they move in.
Mm-hmm. And then they want to stop everybody else.
And they want to stop. Right. Now that I'm here, you can close the door.
And I tell you, you know, I hear Neil Bortz talk about this invasion force that's come in. What? Come on, Bortz. You think that's a Native American Indian name?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And and the numbers. People talk about the numbers, too. Well, there's going to be a wave of them. They're going to change the population. Look, in 1900, the population of the United States was 75 million. And within 10 years, 7.5 million people showed up in New York. Did anything happen?
That's 10%.
Exactly.
That's
much
10%.
Higher than what we've got now.
Yeah, that's 10%. And
if you don't like Mexican people, don't live in L.A.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I mean, you can move to South Dakota, don't you know?
Don't you know? And, you know, funny you should say that because I think North and South Dakota are two states that are losing population.
And there you have it.
they call the Latino snowbirds.
Yeah.
And move them up there to, mm-hmm. Don't you know?
Yeah.
I like that. I like your accent. Beauty country.
Right. Cost you $15,000 to put a roof on your barn, but, you know.
No, well, at least no hurricanes, no earthquakes.
That's true.
I mean, seriously, think about it. And they do have occasionally, I think usually Wednesday in June or July, they have a summertime.
Yes. And you can fire your gun out of your kitchen window.
At the new immigrants coming
new
in.
Right.
Since now that you've made
it. Season, yeah, now that you're here, right.
Yeah, that means that property be cheap if people are leaving.
And it is cheap up mm-hmm. there. That's right. And of course, it could be called North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Well, no, it'd be the people from L.A. that didn't like Mexicans illegal. See, they can just turn, like you said, you know, Mexifornia can, you know, have it or whatever. Again, it's not going to, you know, who knows? I don't
it
care.
Doesn't change.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right,
the whole
right.
point is the market will figure it out. And again, we're not, it is funny how the, again, I just, to repeat myself, which I hate to do, the 11 million are here now.
Right.
Is and the problems are in the socialist area of the economy, well, namely health and
here's another issue that I hear, and that is that they always say, well, these people aren't becoming Americans. They're not learning the language. Look, it takes a generation. Your Polish grandparents didn't learn the language either. But your grandma did. Your Polish great-grandparents didn't, but your grandma did.
Right. Well, not only that.
Who cares? I went to a Chinese restaurant the other day, and not one person in there spoke one word of English except the one person that was helping me out.
Right.
That's
and
all
did
you
I complain?
Mean.
No. Did I care? No.
No,
they
had
a very efficient communication going on back there.
It's called pointing.
Yeah, well, no.
They write in chicken tracks.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
No, they
but,
do.
I mean, but they understood. It was like ninjas back there working the working the kitchen. And it's like, could you imagine somebody, some equal rights person going, well, they wouldn't hire me because I didn't speak Chinese. It's like, oh God, you know. I mean, that'd be the one
Too
thing.
Too bad. Should have learned Chinese.
Yeah, exactly. Should have learned Chinese.
Well, somebody was
Chinese restaurant.
Well, you know, they do. What is something like 160 languages are spoken in the California schools or in the New York schools? 160 languages.
Well,
are spoken.
Well, the good your children get more diversity than just English.
Yeah,
you know?
Again, don't you know? Cares, that, and but, you can't legislate diversity anyway.
No.
It's gonna happen. When, but you brought up a point, and that's gone out of my head. And that is what did you just say about the? The other point, you brought a point in, what did you just say?
Your great...
The whether or not you are a nation of immigrants, and people dismiss that out of hand very often. So what? Kind of thing. And everybody looks back and we're all immigrants and so forth. And they're worried about the assimilation thing. I'm not worried about it at all. The fact is that if somebody... Let me tell you this. By their own admission here locally... 30% of the high school graduates are illiterate. No, I mean, if you gave the citizenship test to Americans, mm-hmm. 30% of them, I guarantee you 30 or 40 would flunk.
Just look at jaywalking contestants.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Who is George Washington? Isn't he the president right now?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. No. I mean, that is true. If you gave this, I would be scared to death mm-hmm. to give the citizenship test to high school students today. And I'm talking about waspy white,
yep.
You know, forget, I mean, I would profile, mm-hmm. profile the high school students.
and profiling is wrong.
That's right. It may be, but I would profile them to be, you know, in the magnet schools. I would say even in the magnet schools, white, you know, bright spelling bee kids, whatever it is, the whole nine yard, give them the citizenship test and see how well they do. And I'll guarantee you, the failure rate would be
astronomical,
high.
Yeah.
So and just because you're to me it's sickening. Just because you're here, let me put it this way, it's the old saying, things lightly obtained are lightly esteemed. And I realize that the American passport is one of those gold, it's like the gold card or platinum card or whatever it is and so forth. So
not
that's
in
nice.
Baghdad.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's got a target on it.
That's right.
So
don't shoot and see until you see the blue of their book.
That's right. The deal is that I'm not worried about the assimilation thing at all anyway. And so that there's a community, as you say, the Chinese. We got people all over town here. Hey.
Chinatown,
right.
Oh, and not only that, I saw the owner pulling away from the Chinese restaurant in a brand new Lexus. It says China One on the back of the license plate. Yeah.
Cool.
And I was like, yeah, I'm sure people in
Taiwan,
Shanghai,
Beijing.
I'm sure people in Shanghai, you know, have the same opportunity as
right.
man over
exactly,
here.
Exactly,
you know, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, the point is that I don't know what they talk about. We talked about this. Well, I talked about this once before. They talk about the melting pot, which is wrong. It's more like a stew here with lumps, and I have no problem with enclaves of people that want to retain their heritage. Again, we talked about
this. They have all kinds of
Cinco de Mayo. They have Saint.
Right.
Think about it. They closed down New York City on St. Patrick's Day.
And
what's with that? That's Irish.
They dye the river in Chicago green.
Yep.
So
in Savannah.
And in Savannah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Savannah, of all places.
Savannah. That's deep south.
That's it. I love it. Okay, well, anyway. So I think we beat that to death. Let's move on.
Well, there was one more thing, but we can cut it out. But I was watching on the news yesterday, and they actually had there was a guy who was in charge of like the Latino movement to come into the country, and it was on one of those CNN talking head shows. But they one of the guys in there was saying, you know, and by all these numbers, you know, we're going to have 40 million people, you know, in over the next, you know.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm just like, whatever.
That's still only the 10%, a little bit more than 10% that came in the wave of 1900.
Right.
And there's been wave after wave after wave. Man. I mean, yep. it's not like it's ever stopped. And it's funny that they always face the same discrimination.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, there have been as we said, Polish. There have been the German, the Irish, the Italians. Big discrimination. All the Slavics. Big discrimination, mm-hmm. and on and on. No, it's exactly right. It's a normal human reaction. But the market. The whole point is no government law has ever. The Chinese. Woo, talk about it, discriminate. I mean, they passed laws that said you. I mean, the laws were draconian in California. And even though they're bringing these people in to build the railroads and everything, coolies and all that kind of stuff.
It was illegal to immigrate if you were a Chinese or if you were Japanese.
During the war.
Before that, there were periods when it was right.
Or
absolutely
been a couple
illegal.
Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the jingoism and the fear takes hold again. And it's, again, the market figures it out. We're not any of the worse for wear for all this stuff that's happened in the past. We won't be any worse for wear. In my
opinion,
we'd be better off. That's right. Because the thing is, once you get rid of the socialist part of the system, which is really the nuts and bolts of this,
right?
Once you get rid of the socialist part of the system, the rest of it takes care of itself because you can't come here and not have a job.
Right.
Let's start using communist part of the system.
Well, I realize, and you're right. I mean, you are. It's just what I call the statist part or whatever it is, but you're right.
The red Stalin, Lenin, totalitarian, whatever. Chavez, whatever else.
Doomed to failure.
Communist school system.
It would that it was only that good. The only thing they're lacking in the school system now are the brown shirts and the goose stepping, I think. And that's,
yep.
The indoctrination. I don't call them the school system anymore. It's the government run indoctrination system. They want to move that indoctrination, by the way, to they're now wanting desperately to make it mandatory for pre-kindergarten. They want kids ready for kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Which of course
the problem is that we haven't got them early enough yet.
That's right. No, they're going to move it back to zero.
Right.
And of course, once you do that, you're in the matrix. You're in the matrix. That's right. The women
see your baby in a few years.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
Picture of
mm-hmm.
Hologram, whatever.
You have to walk around with an iPod while you're pregnant with little headphones on there, speaking into the womb as the child develops.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So you start before birth.
Right, right.
We're going to get them before birth. That's exactly right. We start them off at about. Start them off at about 4 months, and then there'll be the movement because, we'll start them. Four months? That's not early enough. We'll start them off at 2 months.
No, they'll secretly come up with the Al Gore gene and start putting that in all the sperm banks.
Hey, here's your little red book.
And that's right.
I mean, it's amazing that they continually think that works.
Well, it's indoctrination, pure and simple. It is what they realized, of course, is they're not able when they put the kids in school for 12 years, you know, from the first to the 12th grade. They're not able to indoctrinate them in all that of length of time, even though they've got them like they did that guy in Clockwork Orange, you know, practically with their eyeballs, you know, toothpicked open, looking at the droning on teacher indoctrinating you with the common whatever it is, the mythology of the day. And that's not enough. So we're going to move to kindergarten was when I was growing up. This 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know, when I was growing up, kindergarten was the preschool at that. And that was voluntary.
Right.
Now, I don't think kindergarten is it voluntary anymore? I think you have to go.
Not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, in some states now, they want to make it mandatory, paid for with free,
right.
Of course, which is at no cost or whatever, taxpayer funded for 4-year-olds. And in some places, they want to move it back to 2-year-olds.
So if nothing else, let the immigrants in just to break this horrible
seriously
thing. You know,
come on in, bring your kids.
I
like your idea of the earphone implants and the earphone implants right above the womb area,
right,
and
right.
You've got a 20 gig iPod.
Right.
Every new mother gets that, and the baby listens, and then of course as the baby comes out. The earpieces are put onto the baby.
Right.
And then the baby's taken away and put in an institution.
Right. Well, because Chairman Mao has fixed Lenin's problems.
Huh?
Burr. Burr. Hey, just every time they introduce socialism again, they say they fixed the problems of the last time.
Oh, yeah.
Right, this time
we're going to get it right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same thing, only different.
Yeah, this time.
And Morales is doing it now in Bolivia.
Oh.
This is Eric the Engineer, and you just listened to part one of the June 1st podcast. If part two didn't automatically download, go to jimmydone.com and you can download it there. Thanks for listening and send us some emails.